Fans, for Priest Ranch Wines, there is good news. Third time's a charm. Due to overwhelming response, our mystery cases are back, and they sold out a second time, so we're going back a third time to do it. We've gone back to the warehouse. We've gone back, and we have more shipping supplies. So whether you're buying one for yourself, one to share, or one to give, we have you covered. So you can enjoy a case, share a case, or give a case of the great Priest Ranch Wines, $199 plus tax. Now, each case includes a mix of red, white, Priest Ranch, and High Flyer. Ground shipping is included on all orders of three bottles of more. Now, for delivery options included in the price, ground shipping, curbside pickup in Yountville and St. Helena, or San Francisco Bay Area delivery. So, that's a story about Priest Ranch Wines. You could get them up at the tasting room for curbside delivery or shipped to you. Now, this offer expires at midnight, March 31st, which is only a few days from now. Contact Priest Ranch at 707-944-8200 or info@priestranchwines.com. This is a deal you don't want to pass up.
And two old cats, they called on out to me. They said, hey, son, come help me with this.
KNBR's Giants postgame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
Marty and no. Captain, they're surely fine old friends. They've been working on their boat now.
I love the song. What can I tell you? I love it, which means that Kerry Crowley is with us of the Bay Area News Group. Kerry, how are you?
I'm doing well, Marty. It's truly a unique sound on sports radio, isn't it?
No, it's the best. There's certain, obviously songs mean a lot, and I'm sure in your lifetime there's songs, you know, you hear it, it brings you back to a certain time. And as we do these shows, there's certain songs, that one, the introduction to Ron Wotus with Sam Kennison from, you know, Back to School. The Bruce Jenkins intro, and I just hear them, and it makes me feel better. I don't know. Do you have songs like that in your life?
Oh, of course, of course. But this one, you know, to me, it always triggers the sign, it's time to talk baseball, and it's the weekend talking baseball, because I think that's distinctive, because most people are at home, they're not working, they're, you know, looking forward to the game, and it's a fun opportunity to just kind of play a laid-back song, and that's why I like it so much.
Oh, that's good. How's your week going? Are you still on baseball, or are you doing other stuff?
I'm on breaking news coverage, so it's been a chaotic week, 12 to 8 every day, learning so much about what's taking place in our country, in our community, and it's been eye-opening, it's been pressure-packed, and it's been fun, too, to get the hang of it and to play a role in informing everyone as to what's taking place.
Well, baseball has, made some moves. Legally, they had to do things with the players, and we haven't touched on it too much tonight, and I'll let you explain some of it. But there is a fund of $170 million that is there for the players, and if there's no season, that's all they get. If there is a season, it's sort of like a credit to a prorated salary for as many games as are played. They get the same service time that they had last year. So if you had 40 days last year and there's no season, you get 40 days this year. So they've taken that step to try to neutralize, you know, having contracts voided or breaching contracts. So, and the players went for it.
Yeah, I think it's partly due to who the leadership of each team is. You know, most times the union representatives on each team are veteran players. The Giants union rep is actually Austin Slater. And I think he's a good rep because he's someone who's gone back and forth from the minor leagues to the major leagues. He understands service time really well and how it can be manipulated by teams. So I think he's a good rep. But you look around the league and it's mostly veteran guys who've been entrenched. They're never going to be sent down. And so I think that that's one of the reasons why the deal that was passed is because I think it's very favorable to guys who have been in the league for a long time. And of course, as you know, Marty, the Giants have a number of those. Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, Jeff Samardzija, Johnny Cueto, they will all benefit from this specific deal that was passed because they'll get the full year of service time. And in some cases, they'll become free agents or they'll be earning quite a bit of money that maybe they wouldn't have earned if a different deal was passed.
Yeah, Andy Bagley wrote in The Athletic that the Giants probably are not hurt as much as mm-hmm. other teams if there isn't a season for what you just said. The free agents that they would lose, it's okay. You know, it's not the end of the world. They don't have to put anyone on the 40-man, you know, the Poseys of the world and, you know, people like he may be on, but the Lucianos of the world, people like that. So they're probably in a little better shape, God forbid, if there isn't a season.
Yeah, but you do lose the element of developing your farm system and giving your fans something to look forward to for 2021 and 22, because Joey Bart, Elliot Ramos, Hunter Bishop, Seth Corey, none of these guys would have a season. And as much as, you know, the casual fans are watching the Giants and hoping that they do well in 2020, I think the people that pay really close attention understand that what Farhan is building is going to manifest in 2022, 2023, and all of these young, promising players are going to miss out on a critical year of development. So they will not be hurt too much at the major league level by Kevin Gausman, Drew Smyly, and Hunter Pence all becoming free agents if there is no season. But I do think there is an impact to the farm system that maybe we haven't looked at just enough yet.
Yeah, I said Posey. Of course, I'm thinking of Joey Bart.
Yes.
I'm saying Posey, but yeah, Joey Bart is the other one. He's not on the 40-man. Well, there are suggestions about how to deal with a truncated season. How many games do you think you'd have to have a season, to have a postseason? Do you want to see baseball into November or December? Is it that important to jam this thing in if it's you know, right up against football and the holidays and all that?
Look, I think if you can get 81 games in and maybe a shortened postseason, I think you do it. Maybe you expand the postseason and do a number of 3-game series instead of 5 or 7 game series. And you turn it into a round robin of sorts where a lot of teams are in it. Maybe you expand it to 14. I think it could be really fun. It could be an opportunity for baseball to experiment and become more relevant in the month of November. I know when football dominates, and you know, but football's only played on certain days of the week. And you know, if you put postseason baseball on Monday through Thursday, Marty, or Monday through Friday, I think that people would end up watching. And so I think it is important to have some of a season if you can have it. Of course, you know, the situation with the coronavirus and our government's response to it will dictate what can happen, because mass gatherings have a lot to do with it. Whether they want to play in front of fans or if they'll do the empty stadium deal or not will play a role as well. But to me, I think if you can get half the season in, it's worth doing.
All right. Well, as Jerry Maguire says, follow the money. That's the deal. And that's the TV money. Because that's the problem. They want to get that TV money. That's their revenue, the big
of
chunk of their revenue. So to do it, I don't know. To me, I agree with you. It's an experimental season. That's what this has turned into for me. If you want to have a 40-game season and every game you play is within the National League West, fine. You know, normally you have 76 games within the West. If you give me 40, I can tell you who the best team should be and probably is in 40 games. So
absolutely.
If it comes to 40, I can deal with 40. If it was less than 40, just to make a tournament to get it on TV, I'm not sure. I guess so. You know, at this point, and you're on the front lines with these stories, it seems so distant to me. Reading about everything that's going on in the country, in New York, now Chicago, Detroit, in Louisiana. I mean, there's no stopping this thing, and baseball is in the middle of it. And they got a tough road to go here. People thinking spring training is going to start in May. I think they're out of their minds.
I agree with you, Marty. I just don't see any way that that's possible. I know that Arizona is spread out and that you could get a number of teams down there and maybe a number of teams down to Florida. But if you're putting all 30 teams in this thing, you're just not going to be able to find space for them to train in the month of May and to do it in a way that fits with government mandates that fits with what's healthy for the players, what's healthy for the staff and all the personnel that's involved in baseball. I just don't see any way where May could happen. And, you know, optimistically, I think July could be a target for them, especially if the coronavirus dies down when the weather gets warmer. But still, we're talking about things in theories and concepts and not really in concrete ideas.
Yep. It's up to the data, as they like to say.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
See what that's all about. How do you like being on the front lines of this thing? What's it like for you?
It's different, I can tell you that much. I'm getting used to it. And, you know, I've always admired my coworkers who work in news, who work to inform the public. And so to learn from them this week, it was really inspiring to me in many ways, because they do such a good job. They work so hard to be able to inform their communities. And remember, when you're talking about when people talk about the media, they so often look at the big national media, the big corporations, because they've got cable TV. But really, you look at the newspapers and you look at the local TV stations and you look at the people who do the stories that matter to your community. And I'm just so inspired by those people. So to have the chance to work alongside them and to help them, to pitch in any way I can, has been eye-opening. It's been fun for me. Okay. And I know it's not the best story to report on right now, but it is an important story that impacts all of us.
It is. Very good. I'm glad you're doing it. We need it. We need that. Mm-hmm. We need information from people, and the more information that we can rely on, the better. And that's mm-hmm. why I'm glad you're out there doing it, because we can trust you. I know that from knowing you. You know, we had this discussion earlier today about the 10, 12, and 14 teams, and next week we'll concentrate on the 12 team. On KMBR is going to do some replays. But, boy, you know, Kerry, you go over the names of the players on these teams, and a lot of them are over 30. A lot of them are veterans. A lot of them are characters. Can we have baseball like that ever again? Can a general manager say, I'm going out and getting this guy, he's 33, but I'm telling you, he can win a pennant for us this year. Are we ever going to see that again? Brian Sabian did it. And you know,
gosh, you know what, Marty? It's really funny that you mentioned Brian Sabian's name, because I was thinking today, he is probably the only executive who would have acquired the guys that he did in 2010, 2012, and 2014 and had it work. He put so much trust, and Bruce Bochy put so much trust in veteran players, and for things to work out the way they did for the Giants 3 times in 5 years, I don't think we'll ever see anything like that again. Maybe we'll see the one-off where, you know, a team like the Nationals last year had a number of veteran guys and guys who were discarded by other teams, as Drubal Cabrera, Howie Kendrick played important roles in that World Series run. But just the way baseball is going, it seems to be unique that you would acquire so many of these older, seasoned players and then have it play out the way it did. It was fun to listen back to some of those replays and snippets that I got to listen to today and kind of reminisce about how those teams were built.
Amazing. And I'll say this, let you go on this Saturday night, but if Bochy is in the Hall of Fame for what he did, he won his 3 World Series, and he was in a World Series with the Padres, and Sabian was 0-2, and he won his 3 World Series, Brian Sabian goes in with him.
Well, I'll say this, Marty. I think there are 5 no-brainer Hall of Famers from the Giants' golden era, 2010, 2012, and 2014. And one is already in, and that's John Miller. And the others are Brian Sabian, Bruce Bochy, Dwayne Kuiper, and Mike Kruko. I think that, you know, maybe Madison Bumgarner has a really good chance. Maybe Buster Posey has a really good chance. But the no-brainers, as we've talked about before, are the broadcasters and the management of the Giants team. And as you know, you would love to see the pre- and post-game wing in the Hall of Fame.
That's correct.
So that you could go in, too.
Well, this year it's only – I don't know what I am this year, because we don't have post-game. So I guess I'm still the pre- and post.
Wing this year.
I guess I'm still pre- and post, I guess, because I follow the games today. So I guess I'm back to post-game. See, I was out, and they dragged me back in. You know, that's
amazing how that works.
The Godfather. All right. Yeah. Well, how are the folks tonight?
They're doing well. I was able to walk with them We stayed 6 feet apart this morning per the social distancing guidelines. We walked along the beach in San Francisco with our pup, and that was a nice treat for me. So I had the chance to spend some time with them in the beautiful San Francisco air. Light drizzle today, but it didn't stop us from getting out there.
Now, of course, I'm still in Arizona, but I read your stories. I read everything that I can from San Francisco. When you go outside, what does it look like to you? Are people adhering to the, 6 feet and, trying to stay inside except for essential things? What are you seeing when you go out?
For the most part, yes, I do see that. It lines the grocery store. Everyone is respecting that. And the beaches and the parks are crowded, but the people who are closer than 6 feet together are usually family members. They're usually parents with their children. And, I think that everyone has taken it very seriously here in the Bay Area. And that's why we've been able to flatten the curve more than other locations that are high density in the country. And so I think that it's been a really positive collective effort. And the more people who understand it, the better for us. And so it's been nice to see people taking this very seriously.
Well, I love it. Good to talk with you. We'll talk next week,
too.
And we'll see if there's, I think the union and the players sort of settled, and the ownership settled a lot of the issues this week. Now the question will be, can we ever flatten that curve and maybe see some light at the end of a tunnel? Because right now it's hard to see it, and I think that's the next step for baseball. I know what baseball wants. And I know that they'd like to take care of the employees and hopefully the vendors. I saw that was an issue today, whether they're included in the $1 million that baseball that the Giants are putting up. Does it include the people who sell stuff in the stands, or is it just employees and that kind of stuff, game day employees? So there's a lot more to be resolved, but I think baseball took a big step this week in getting their legal issues resolved with the players. I think that was huge this week.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that once that is out of the way, then they can start to figure out other matters that are, of course, very important, because there is no baseball the way it is without the important people who work on game days, without the vendors, without the people who take tickets. And so and minor league players as well, who really weren't afforded much in the new deal, if anything at all. And so I think that it is important that baseball as an industry takes a look at all the people who have worked to make it so successful through the years and who have worked to make it such a big business, and take care of them in this really important time, because there wouldn't be a sport without all the people who make game days and who make the season so possible and so enjoyable for everyone.
Yeah, everyone on those front lines, wherever they may be, utmost respect for him. Kerry, thanks so much as always. Yeah, and we'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it, Marty. Thank you so much.
All right. Be safe. Be well. Talk to you next week. Thank you. All right. That is Kerry Crowley. And more coming up. Mark A. Simon says Sports Info Solutions is with us. He's very patient. He's back east. So for him, it's 11:05. So let's take a quick break and get back with Mark A. Simon Says from Sports Info Solutions. He is our weekly guest, and he's going to break down a little bit of that Philly series. I said, Mark, tell me why the Giants won. And he's going to, I'm sure, have many reasons why they won that series, other than the fact that they won four before the Phillies did. All right, more coming up right after this.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.